On today's insights, different ways to post the same job. Where do your target candidates hang out on social media? And we review the 2020 Recruitment Marketing Benchmark Report from Appcast. Insights is brought to you by Haley Marketing. Right now, we're offering two great deals. First, Google Mastery, where we'll get you to the top of search results and on more than 2 million websites in Google's advertising network. And second, our social visibility that includes custom blog writing, our award-winning social pro service, and reputation management services. Plus, free videos and free monthly social media training for your staff. To learn more about these two great deals from Haley Marketing, you can give us a call at 888-696-2900. This is Insights.
Welcome to Insights. Tips and best practices from the insiders at Haley Marketing. Insights will provide you with the tools you need to master your social media, digital marketing, and employer branding. Your hosts for Insights are Brad Biley and Matt Lozar.
What's up? This is Brad Biley, and welcome back to another episode of Insights, the podcast built to help you with your recruitment and digital marketing. As always, I'm joined by Haley Marketing's Director of Recruitment Marketing, Matt Lozar. Matt, it's fake spring.
It was fake spring a couple days ago here in the eastern part of the country. I even was talking to someone further east from us, from Buffalo, and it was going to be 60 degrees for a day, and that was a pretty good storm trekking across the country to remind us it's still February.
See, I told you the other day, you got to keep me grounded, you got to keep me level-headed, because once I get in on fake spring, I am all the way in. I'm ready for shorts. I'm ready for golf season. I might get the clubs out. I don't know.
We're not there yet.
I know, but it's tough. So we're closer to golf season, Matt. One day closer. How's your swing been?
It's still in the closet.
Okay.
We can't. Matt has a problem practicing inside for an extended period of time. Oh. And then we need to get real feedback in the fresh air of the golf course. So I think once March hits, we'll be able to start practicing. Is that we're hoping for that fake spring to turn into an early spring.
Well, hey, we're one day closer. Let's get to the show.
Let's go.
Content Blueprint.
Just last week, I had the opportunity to speak at an industry conference in Las Vegas, and I had a great question come up in the Q&A that I wanted to bring to Insights specifically to get Matt's take on the question. So after my presentation on the foundation, 7 ways digital marketing can fix a broken candidate experience, one of the attendees raised their hand and they asked me, and they said, Brad, you mentioned sharing the same job multiple ways, you know, sharing jobs in unique ways so that you can captivate passive candidates. While I understand that, it becomes challenging for me because we're filling that opportunity 100, maybe 150 times throughout the year. How can we consistently be creative, share the same job 100, 150 ways throughout the year? It's almost impossible. I hate that word, but it's almost impossible. So Matt, as Director of Recruitment Marketing, I want to bring this question to you. How can staffing agencies, how can recruitment firms post the same job that they're actively sourcing, that they're actively trying to fill throughout the year in different ways?
It's not impossible. It's impossible to post a job 150 times, 150 different ways. But it's when Brad came back from the LaborMax conference in Las Vegas and was talking about this, it's trying to find ways to make the job, I think, appealing to different audiences, because somebody could apply for the job in March versus November. It could be different people. So 3 areas I wanted to focus on were, the first one could just be job titles. It could be, let's say it's machine operator or general warehouse worker or something similar to that. Post that job in different ways and then track your results and test to see what works better and also what brings better quality. So I think job titles is a great place to start when you're having to post the same job as a staffing agency repeatedly throughout the year.
A great way to get your candidates or your associates out on assignment involved with that is ask them how they might refer to the job that they're actively involved with, right? So if you were to ask me, Matt, what I do for a living, well, I could be a social media strategist. I could be a digital marketing strategist, a social media consultant. It all sort of means the same thing. But for you, the listener, it's thinking through, okay, if I'm placing a general laborer in a warehouse, What else might they refer to themselves as? How can we spin that?
And if you work with Indeed for sponsored jobs or some of the other job boards too, I know CareerBuilder has had this in the past. It's, let's say you're placing that general laborer in Lehigh Valley. Indeed has the data to show, okay, what are people in this area? What are they actually typing into Indeed? And then what are they clicking on? Is it that general laborer? Is it warehouse worker? And then tailor your job titles around what people are actually searching. So it's not what you're searching. It's what your passive or active candidates are searching.
So Indeed has essentially a click report. They know what people are searching for, and they know what jobs are being clicked on.
Right.
I mean, that's incredible data to have. If you're thinking, okay, how do I source passive candidates amid record low unemployment? It's understanding what those passive candidates are not only searching for, but what is captivating their attention enough to get them to click.
And speaking of that captivating attention, it's, you know, the question you had was 100, 150 times a year. You can't write that many job descriptions, job advertisements. It would, the ROI wouldn't be worth it. But can you create 5 or 10 different ways to maybe fully rewrite it? Or in the beginning, you know, a couple sentences that really highlight this opening. Is it the shift? Is it the pay? Is it close to a bus route? Is it close to, you know, public transportation? How can that job stand out? So you're not rewriting the whole job description, job advertisement, you know, just a handful of different ways you can post and rewrite it. And then also look at the data for that too. Maybe format B is better than format F. Look at that data to then do more of that in the future.
It's a really cool idea, Matt. And something that kind of caught me off guard here is thinking through, okay, if my job advertisement has 7 sections, how do I just move those around? And am I tracking that? So if I have my opening prologue, or we have our opening sentence, right, our opening paragraph, rather, we have that blurb, what is in it? How does that spark interest? How does that spark conversions and actual applicants? Do we put the salary in that section, or do we put it at the very bottom of the job listing? How does that impact ROI and actual conversions? I love the thought of saying, okay, we have sort of this plug-and-play model where we're coming up with 7 to 8 different sections that make up our job advertisement, our job listing, and then we're just moving those around so that they're unique, they're customized, and we're adding something a little bit different each time.
We've talked about job titles and job descriptions, but I think the third way you can highlight jobs you have to repeatedly fill open job orders for is create a video. And if you can put that in the job description on your site, or if you can use that on your actual website or on social media, different ways to engage with your audience, because video is pushed out more in the algorithms. People will engage with the video, create a video, put some captions on it, and see how that drives more applications.
Another idea, Matt, that I'm just kind of having as we sit here is thinking through, okay, it might be the same job opportunity, but is it for the same client? Can you include that client's name in there? Can you include something different about the location or why this specific organization is an employer of choice in Buffalo, New York? What do they do differently? So yes, it might be a warehouse associate in warehouse A, warehouse associate, warehouse B. What makes those locations different? Are they closer to a Tim Hortons or closer to a bus route? Is there something that would captivate somebody's attention based on A and B? And how can you spin that into the job listing itself?
So filling the same job order is a challenge. I think if you create these different tactics or ways to write it or promote it differently, and then is the first step, but then the second step, and this is also a big challenge, is how are you going to track that data?
Sure.
Don't start small. Don't just try 47 different things tomorrow. You know, really slowly evolve that different testing process to make sure you have data. It's easy to get data, but then what can you do with that data to make better informed decisions in the future?
Social reach.
Where do your target candidates hang out on social media? It's a question that we get asked time after time at Haley Marketing Group. Do I need to be on every social platform? Do I only need to be on Facebook or LinkedIn or Instagram? Where should I be investing my time? Where should I be investing my advertising budget? Where should I really be just investing my attention overall? If we think about where your target candidates hang out on social media, Matt, if I can get us started here, it really starts with understanding who your target candidate is. It's understanding that persona and what makes that target candidate unique. If you're placing general laborers in Buffalo, New York, or I know you said Lehigh Valley as an example earlier this episode, do you expect them to be on LinkedIn actively looking at productivity and success articles on LinkedIn? Or do you expect them to be more on Facebook using it as a way to pass time in the evening? Thinking through who that target audience is, what interests that target audience, will ultimately help us understand what social platform they're a part of.
Yeah, the word you said of personas is important, I think, and starting to really become more prevalent in talent acquisition as the consumer side of, you know, that B2C really focuses on personas a lot. And now that in talent acquisition, you know, as Brad said, the warehouse worker in a market, the accountant in Chicago, the registered nurse in Phoenix, Arizona, building that persona on their behavior online on social media, and then putting your content in those places will help you promote and share that content where your target audience, that persona, is spending its time.
You need to go where your target audience is active and listening. You know, as we look at data from throughout the staffing and recruiting industry with our Social Pro product here at Haley Marketing Group, one thing that we continue to see is that a platform like Twitter doesn't really prove any serious ROI in this specific industry. Where we do see ROI, though, is from Facebook, from LinkedIn, those two key platforms. So it's thinking through, okay, if I only have a certain amount of hours every week to invest in my social strategy, I'm going to go where my audience is active and listening. It's just like fishing, Matt. If there's no fish in a local watering hole, you're going to go somewhere else. It's thinking through where you're going to cast that line so that as you throw a great piece of content, a job listing to your target audience, they're there waiting for it.
And when we were talking before the show, I think what's also important is, yeah, where is your target audience spending time? But also...
That was good. You're smiling at me. You know that analogy.
I want to think about the fishing line is almost where are the social media applications stocking the pond?
Sure.
On Facebook right now, it's groups. Because in two reasons we know it's groups. One, there are literal broadcast TV commercials about Facebook groups. I'm sure it's on YouTube TV and all those other different areas. So they're making a concerted effort that way to get people to groups. But also when you log into the app on your phone, the Facebook app has a groups icon at the bottom and has a separate notifications for groups as well, which means Facebook wants to promote groups to get people to spend more time on its platform.
There's a couple ways we can take that, Matt. The first is I think there's a conversation to be had about why groups. So groups are existing on Facebook, in my opinion at least, because the Facebook newsfeed continues to become cluttered. There are so many pieces of information that Facebook can show you every single time you log in that you become inundated with content. It's content overload. Facebook groups are a way to get back to that foundation of thinking through, okay, I'm really interested in gardening. I'm going to join a gardening in Buffalo club or group, not club, but almost like a club. I'm going to join this group so that all I see is content about local gardening in Buffalo, New York. It brings you back to this community sense that Facebook always wanted you to have.
I can tell you right now with groups, my literal Facebook behavior, and this isn't employment related. Yes, there are some employer brand recruitment marketing groups I monitor.
Sure.
I built a backyard rink in my physical yard this year. There's a backyard ice rinks group on Facebook that is very active, almost like a club. There's a volunteer organization I'm a part of now, a running series for youth that all of the people around the country that are volunteering this organization get together pretty much every day and ask questions. So as Brad said, yes, the feed is cluttered and maybe people are going to feed to interact with family and friends and to like the photos from Valentine's Day or St. Patrick's Day or whatever holiday or any other content there. But the groups, people are going in there with an intent and purpose. And if your goal is to connect with that persona of the active or passive job candidate, you have to go to where they're spending the time.
So you go there and the last thing that you want to do is join that group and say, hey, we're hiring in Buffalo. You should check out our website. You want to join the group, become a part of that community. Use that as a personal branding opportunity. Join the group, be human, put the social back in social media, but join the group for a specific reason of being human.
Because if you were at a networking event, would you just walk up to someone and say, hey, I'm hiring, like, hey, I'm Matt, I'm hiring today.
I would run the other way.
Right. You have to take the behaviors that we have in person, how you would network, and recruiters are very good at networking with people and making them feel important and trying to eventually get them to, yes, the resume and hopefully an eventual placement maybe today or 6 months from now. So carry over that in-person skills that recruiters have and use those same skills, but just transfer them into an online community.
So where do your target candidates hang out on social media? Really, the answer is it depends. It's thinking through that ideal persona. Who is the ideal candidate and where might they be hanging out offline? How can we then continue that online? And how can we humanize our brand, humanize our voice on social media to go where that target audience is active and listening? How can we join the conversation to be a part of that conversation? How can we join that conversation to be a part of the community? And ultimately, how can we add value to that end applicant?
Seen and heard.
At this time, we're going to review the 2020 Recruitment Marketing Benchmark Report from AppCast. Matt, this is a report that we also reviewed last year on Insights. We went through the 2019 AppCast Benchmark Report. And you had mentioned this earlier in a channel that you and I have on Slack when we think through topics. You said that you wanted to bring this back to Insights. I'm excited for your biggest takeaways on this year's report. So Matt, we're going to have you get started here. You reviewed the 2020 Recruitment Marketing Benchmark Report, and we'll put a link to that in the show notes so that you can download your own copy. But Matt, we want to hear your biggest takeaways from reviewing that document.
Yeah, big thanks to AppCast for putting together this report annually. Like we said earlier, if you have all that data, what can you do with it? And AppCast does a really good job annually of putting together this report. And as one of our partners on the programmatic side, it's very helpful because the first thing I want to dig into is the apply rate in 2019 was at 5%. That's a pretty steep drop from 2018 when it was 5.6%. So the application rate is dropping.
Meaning 5% of people that look at an opportunity actually click apply.
Correct. So if you had 1,000 people click on a job, 50 of them apply, whereas the year before, it was 56 people. So that's a pretty good drop. And one of my big guesses is another takeaway is the mobile traffic is really starting to increase. And the challenge is applications are really long. And candidates don't have a lot of information on their mobile devices. So if you have a long application on your job board from your ATS or whatever career portal you're using, that's going to discourage users. So that could be one of the reasons the application rate is dropping. And with that mobile traffic, another takeaway I have is mobile traffic on the weekends is increasing a lot. It's over 55% on Saturday and Sunday, whereas during the week, those 5 weekdays, it's under 50%. So the natural takeaway is people are sitting on their phones on the weekend applying for jobs.
I think that makes perfect sense. People are working during the week. They have time. They have downtime during the weekend to actually actively apply. You know, Matt, just last week I had referenced the presentation that I gave in Las Vegas, and I pulled data from the Haley Marketing Group job board collectively. Just over 63% of all traffic to the Haley Marketing Group collective job board, 63% of that came from a mobile device just last month. So we're thinking through the climb of mobile traffic to job opportunities. We're seeing that data here at Haley as well.
I know Leah Daniels, one of the SVPs at AppCast, did a podcast about this report recently, and she talked about how that mobile apply traffic is increasing. And she said something we've actually said a lot here at Haley Marketing Group is apply for your own job, but do it mobily. Don't just do it on desktop. Go through that mobile experience and see what your candidates are going through.
You have to identify any friction. So you have to think through what documents are you asking for? Are you asking for a resume, a cover letter, social security number? What are you asking for when you think through that mobile apply? And how can you reduce friction to make it easy for somebody who's applying on the weekends, as Matt said?
And the last two takeaways, I think, are really focused on actual job writing, job titles, you know, when to post jobs. And this one is jobs. Keep your job title simple. 1 to 3 words have, you know, a 7% apply rate. You know, when you get to 7 or more words, that apply rate drops to under 5%. It goes back to what we actually talked about in segment one. What are people going to Google, to Indeed, to search for? They're searching for warehouse worker. They're searching for registered nurse. They're searching for, you know, a type of programmer or coder, JavaScript developer. They're not, as Brad said before, you can have ninjas in your company, nobody's searching for that job.
Sure.
So I think just when you have those job titles, it might be part of your culture, but put that on the business card. Don't put that on the job posting.
Put that on the business card. Don't put that on the job posting. What a line, Matt. That was, wow, that was a great line.
Our last takeaway here is it's a really simple one. It's when to post your jobs. And Appcast Benchmark Report really supports what we see here when we're running job advertising campaigns. It's apply rates are the highest on Mondays. I think your jobs have to be up on Sunday night. It's we'll see conversion rates really high on Sundays because, you know, the Sunday scaries, which people joke about on social media, like they don't want to go to work on Monday because right. they don't like their job. So Sunday night comes, they want to look for a new job despite having one for Monday morning. Monday comes, you know, sick of my job, hate my boss, hate my coworkers, ready for a new job. Tails off during the week, though, because nobody really wants to apply for a job on the weekends. They're having fun. They're focusing on not getting a new job at that point. They're focusing on whatever family, friends, activities they have planned, kind of resets that Friday at 5 o'clock. And then when Sunday comes again, the whole cycle resets.
It makes a lot of sense to me. You think about the Sunday scaries, and I know you said that jokingly, but if you think about the fact that somebody is, as they're getting ready for the week to start on Monday, your brain is thinking about going back to work, okay? So if you don't like your job, now you're thinking, oh, well, maybe I should look for other opportunities, right? I don't like how I feel right now. I'm anxious. I'm a little hesitant. I'm nervous to go back in. Maybe I just truthfully don't want to go. So you're starting to look for other opportunities on Sunday night. Monday, when you go in, reaffirms the fact that you hate your job. So now you're reapplying on Monday or you're applying more on Monday because you're reaffirming that thought that you had Sunday night. That makes total sense, Matt. So I totally understand that.
So with apply rates being down in 2019, really look at these three parts of your job descriptions. It's keep your job simple, simple and clear. Keep them easy to read. Post your jobs on Sunday nights, Monday morning. So when job seeker traffic is highest, make sure your jobs are posted. And then apply for your jobs mobily. See what your candidates are going through. Like Brad said, 63% of Haley Marketing job board traffic was from mobile. That's not going down. It's going to increase. So actually have you, your team, your family, your friends apply for your job on mobile devices. See the pain that they're going through. See how good your mobile apply is to a competitor down the street. And realize that is a huge part of the candidate experience today in 2020.
That's our show, and thank you for listening to another episode of Insights. If you found this episode valuable, we would love to know. You can message Matt or Brad on LinkedIn to share your thoughts. Have a question for us? You could tweet us at Haley Marketing and let us know what you're thinking, or email info@haleymarketing.com. And of course, if you need a hand with your marketing or recruitment marketing initiatives, we would love to help. You could check out haleymarketing.com to get in touch with our team of marketing educators. For my podcast partner, Matt Lozar, this is Brad Biley. We'll see you next time.